Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Welcome back, family. You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, and this is the weekend edition. We are getting into our mid-morning chat right now, and we're going to be having a real and raw conversation on the goodness of God versus human suffering. And joining us on the line for that conversation is one of my favorites, Pastor Lunga. Good morning, my pastor. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Bongi. I hope you are well, and thank you for inviting me.
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much. I always appreciate you sharing your time with us. This is an interesting conversation here, especially for us as Christians who preach about, you know, sharing the power of God, sharing our testimonies and what God has done for us. But that coexistence of God's goodness with human suffering sometimes can be a tricky balance, especially when you consider situations where, like, for example, in the recent past, we see people who are losing their children, people are burying their kids and their husbands in these wars, Russia and Ukraine, Israel and Palestine. There's so much pain in the world. And then even amongst ourselves here in Southern Africa, there's so much happening. So while I'm praising God for what he's done for me, someone is watching me. Someone is burying their child. Someone is burying their husband. Someone has lost their job. Someone is almost out on the street homeless because they can't, you know, they can't keep up with their payments for their home. There's so much that's happening. How do we balance those two things? Is it insensitive for me to be preaching about how good God is while the person sitting next to me is hungry?
These are heavy duty issues, Bongi. I must say, as we begin, and that we may not scratch everything on this subject. It's called, theologians call it the theodicy, the subject of good and evil, the subject of pain. Uh-huh. I may not scratch everything, but we pray that the Lord may help us to at least cover the basics on this. One thing that we need to understand as we take off is that we need to understand our position when we become sons of God and daughters of God.
Okay.
Before we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we automatically are sons of darkness. That's why Jesus would say, in fact, if it's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, where he says, but you were dead in your sins and in your trespasses, tracing our sinful state to our birth. So when we accept Jesus, we become ambassadors in a foreign land, and as a result, we become victims of the devil, sin, and the world. So there are three things that affect a born again child of God: the devil, sin, and the world. So as we are ambassadors, it happens that the devil comes. Everyone suffers generally because we live on planet Earth, but yeah, the devil has a specific agenda on those who have accepted Christ. He wants to make sure he gives them a hard time, through the world, through the devil himself, and through sin. So there are two attitudes that God's children should possess when they've accepted Christ and they become sons and daughters of light. Number one, the first attitude we find in Philippians 4, verse 4, where the author says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Mm-hmm. Yes, and the second attitude is found in Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4, where he says, go around the city and put a mark on all those who weep and sigh because of the detestable things or sins that are being committed. So Christians ought to have joy, live joyful lives on one side.
Yeah.
At the same time, we are supposed to have a sensitive conscience against the sin and what it does to God's children. So in one side, we are called to weep, Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, blessed are those who mourn. On the other side, we are called to rejoice. Now, Now, what we need is a balance, because a Christian who's always weeping and mourning fails to bear a good testimony about God.
Right.
And also, a Christian who's always happy and rejoicing becomes irrelevant in addressing the needs of the people on planet Earth.
Yeah.
So we need the Holy Spirit and wisdom when to be happy and rejoicing and when to mourn and sigh.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to, I love Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. And allow me to read it, Bongi.
Okay.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity.
Amen.
Under the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
This is what one of the wisest men we have ever lived says, that there are seasons in life.
Mm-hmm.
And you will discover that what Bongi and their family are going through in this season may be different from what Pastor Lung and his family are going through.
Yeah.
You are going through your own season. I'm going through my own season. So when it happens that in my family, there is a cause to praise, there is a cause to celebrate,
yeah,
there is a cause to rejoice and throw a party, I should do that because we are on that season. He says there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. As we speak right now, there's a family who have received the good news that they have a new baby boy or a new baby girl.
Yes.
But as we speak right now, at the same time, there's a family that is losing a loved one.
Mm.
He says there's a time to plant and there's a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. All this goes back to the first statement, there are seasons, two different seasons on this other side of the sun. It is a known fact that we all go through something, but we go through that something on different seasons.
Yes.
As we speak right now, we are it's so hot on this other side of,
yes,
the globe. It's so hot. But the guys in Europe are venturing into winter as we,
mm-hmm,
speak.
Mm-hmm.
So while we are basking and swimming and enjoying the sun, they are going through winter, they are complaining of the colds and everything. It's because there are seasons and different times under the sun. For that reason, for the very fact that there are seasons, then Christians need to balance the two attitudes.
Right.
We need to people who are joyful, people who praise God for,
mm-hmm,
what he has done. It's okay. We shouldn't feel bad for praising God when he has done something. It's your season of praise.
Mm.
The writer to the church says, nothing can make us sad when Christ makes us glad. These are ages. So when Christ has made you glad, when Christ has blessed you, when Christ has done something for you, it's okay to go through that season and celebrate. The Bible says there are different seasons, a time to be born, a time to plant, a time to be silent, a time to laugh. At the same time, we need to also be aware that while we are rejoicing and enjoying, it could be that someone is going through something.
Mm.
Therefore, we need to have the eyes of Jesus. You remember that Christ was moving with the crowd after performing a miracle, and they were celebrating, because he had raised a dead son. In fact, he had healed one of the guys who had a good reputation there in Judaism. His servant was sick, and Christ healed him.
Mm.
And then as they were moving and celebrating, two groups met. He met the widow of Nain with the people who were mourning with her as they were going to bury her only son.
Mm.
And the Bible says, Christ, while they were on a mood of praise and celebration, he didn't ignore the other crowd that was weeping and going,
right,
to bury.
Yeah.
But he made sure that he moves to them to comfort them and allow that joy that was in them to also be extended to the other group. Because as the story ends, it was one group now celebrating after the son of the widow of Nain was raised. So it goes back now to Solomon, where he says, better to go to a house of mourning than to a party. In other words, it's okay to celebrate. It's okay to throw a party because the Lord has been good. The Lord has done great things for us. Mm-hmm. But should it happen that I hear that my next door neighbor is going through something? Should it happen that someone that is very close, someone whom I can reach and be of influence is going through something? I should put my celebration at a pause and make sure I move towards them, yeah, so that I can comfort them and make them better than what they were going through before I went to see them.
Yeah.
You find the same principle again in one of my favorite stories in the Bible is found in Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, James, the brother of John, is killed by Herod in verse 1 with a sword.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a sad time for the church,
yeah,
because this was the first apostle after Stephen to die. And it was a sad time because they never expected that any of the apostles who worked with Christ would die. They thought Christ would come while they were still alive.
Mm.
But the Bible was killed by Herod with a sword. As you move a few verses down, it says, "And Herod saw that it pleased the Jews. He went further and arrested Peter, and the church prayed for Peter, and Peter was delivered." So, James, I imagine this, Bongi. There was in my culture, we put a red cloth when there's a funeral at the gate.
Uh-huh.
Where James stayed, there was a red cloth.
Yeah.
And where Peter stayed, there was a testimony.
Mm.
Peter's wife was celebrating that her husband was delivered in a miraculous way.
Yeah.
But James' wife was mourning. She had lost her husband. So we see that there are different seasons. It was a different season for James,
yeah,
that the Peter and family were going through.
Yeah.
But we need to understand that when we find ourselves in that situation, then it's better to go to a house of mourning than to a party.
Mm.
We need to put our celebration and our testifying to a pause and make sure that we move towards those whom we can help.
Yeah. So this calls for a lot of self-awareness and awareness of your surroundings so that you are sensitive to the way that your praise, because your praise does not have to be, how am I trying to say this? I'm trying to think, you know, when you're trying to thank God for what he's done for you, that can be a personal thing between you and God. If you are in a place, for example, where they're in mourning or they're not in a good situation.
Yeah.
However, what about in those situations where, you know, sometimes the testimony of the next person might uplift me. It might encourage me to keep going, even though right now I'm going through so much and nothing is making sense. I'm feeling lost. I'm feeling abandoned by God. The next person's testimony reminds me that, no, I must keep on having faith. How do I know, as the person who's offering this testimony, that this is time for a testimony, or no, this is just time to sit and listen to someone who's in pain, or just sit with them in their pain, and my praise will be between me and God privately?
Yeah. Hey, that's a very sensitive question, because many a times we destroy people through our untimely testimonies. I have seen that. And sometimes we testify way too early, and instead of people seeing God, they see us. Even the testimony is full of itself. So it's really a sensitive question. Allow me to say, maybe before I get there, because I really need to address that one.
Mm-hmm.
I love the example of Abraham, because sometimes I may be going through a season of celebration,
yeah,
because I was obedient to God.
Mm-hmm.
And my neighbor is going through a season of loss and trial and mourning because he or she was disobedient to God.
Yeah.
You remember the story of Lot and Abraham? The Bible says there was strife between them because the pasture land was becoming less accommodating for their great livestock.
Yes.
And then Abraham gave Lot an option to choose which area he wanted to go. And Lot chose the plains of Sodom. Then Abraham was okay with any as long as he was with God. Mm. And then the Bible says, before Abraham in Genesis chapter 13 hears that Sodom was attacked and Lot was captured. He didn't sit down and continue enjoying the blessings of God, mm-hmm. but he left everything and made sure that he takes a step towards delivering Lot. That's Genesis chapter 13. So as Christians, the Bible says, consider others better than you. Mm-hmm. And it says in Romans chapter 15, I love Romans chapter 15, it says, bear each other's burdens. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure that if it means laying our celebration and glorying aside for the sake of bearing someone's burden, it's okay.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus did when he incarnated and became a human being. There's a song that we sing that says he left bright worlds afar.
Mm-hmm.
He came with us so that he carries our burden. Coming to your question, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony.
Mm.
It is true that there is power in a testimony. It is
right.
True that when we testify about what God has done for us, we encourage someone. Someone who is about to give up may find one reason to hang on just a little while. Yes. And this is what I believe. I believe that Romans 8, verse 14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, which means then that before I even make a testimony, I should have a little talk with God whether it's time for me to testify.
Mm.
Sometimes we raise our hands and go to the front and speak and testify when God would have preferred that we keep quiet.
Hey.
So, what did God say? Because when you go there, you're going to testify about him. There are some times where it's okay with, remember in the Gospels, he would heal a man and then he would say, don't tell anyone.
Yes.
There are some times where he comes through for you and does a miracle for you. It's you who needs that testimony more than anyone out there.
Mm.
So when you go there and stand, did you first check if there's a need for you to testify?
Mm.
If there's a need, then God will communicate, because Isaiah 30:21 says you'll hear a voice telling you that this is the way. Now, I know that to someone listening at home, I've always been asked this question, how do I know?
Yeah.
How do I know?
Yeah.
How do I know? I think the principle is simple because it's from the Bible. Written by Luke, in chapter 1, it says, inasmuch as some have written, it seemed good to me, Theophilus, to write these things unto you.
Mm.
Here is the principle how God operates and speaks to us.
Mm-hmm.
It should seem good to you.
Mm.
You will find the same principle again in the book of Jude, where he says, some have written about salvation, but it seemed good to me to address these things. So, does it seem good to you after doing a deep introspection, whether the testimony is born out of self or is born out of the Spirit of God? Does it seem good to you? If you are not comfortable with it, don't force it. The Spirit is communicating.
Sure.
It should seem good to you that this is the right time to magnify what God has done for me.
Mm.
If you feel that, no, it's not the right time for me to testify, the Holy Spirit is communicating. I normally say, even on simple things, allow me to divert a bit, even on simple things like making a decision whether to buy a car, you get inside a car and you feel like your spirit is not well with the car. Nothing is better with the car. The latest model, one of the best cars, but God can communicate and tell you, you feel it in your spirit that you are not satisfied with that car.
Mm.
And when you are in touch with the Spirit, when you get into the one that you want, you will know that this is what I've been looking for.
Mm.
So in the same way, sometimes we testify when we are only supposed to encourage members, because our testimonies that are born of self, they destroy instead of encourage.
Mm.
So I feel that we need to be people who are in touch with the one we are testifying about. Is he okay with me testifying now? because he may not be okay with me testifying today, but may be okay with me testifying after 5 months after the miracle.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
So that is one principle that we need to understand. That's what it means to be called spiritual beings. After all, are we in touch with the one we are testifying about? Then I also wanted to say, Bongi, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, full of powerful stuff, because the Apostle Paul writes, it is believed that it was Paul who wrote Hebrews, though there's been a lot of arguments among scholars.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way he puts the examples in contrast to each other. He speaks about Sarah. He says, by faith Sarah received, even when she had passed the stage of childbearing.
Yeah.
And then goes to the next verse and says, by faith Abraham was called to sacrifice. It sounds like it's two different people when it's one couple.
Yes.
Then if you move down, he says, by faith Joseph became a prime minister in the land of Egypt. And then it then says, by faith Moses refused to be the prime minister in the same land. In verse 34 says, they escaped the edge of the sword.
Mm-hmm.
Then verse 37 says, they were sawn asunder through the sword.
Mm.
So what Paul is saying, which I want to address at this point, is that maturity is understanding that nothing can befall us unless it is allowed of God.
Amen.
By the same faith, Abel died. I think it's verse 4 that says, by faith, Abel. The last verse says, he died. The last two words, I mean, in that verse, it says he died. But when you go to verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch, the last two words there says, taken away. He was taken away. So by faith, Abel died. By the same faith, Enoch did not die. He was taken away. Faith is understanding that we are unique and that God deals with us differently and that we are running on different lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And when we understand that, we will know that when I'm going through the loss of a child and Bongi's family have been blessed with a child, nothing shall befall us unless it is allowed of our Father.
Mm.
Painful as it is, with the tears in our eyes, we will understand. I'm saying this to address the other side of the coin, because one, we have addressed the one who needs to testify, but also the one who's listening.
Yes.
He has a problem when he easily gets offended by the testimony of others.
Yes.
You need to understand that faith is understanding that God is too good to err. He will not allow anything that is not good for his children.
Mm.
And if he allows something, if something comes our way, even if it's negative, it has been tried and tested and allowed by our Father that we are the right people to go through it.
Sure.
So when that happens, we will not be wounded, we'll not be fragile, handled with care, because someone is selfishly testified that I'm broken. Someone then says, you know what, guys, during the week, someone, a stranger out of nowhere, gave me 100,000.
Mm.
And at that moment, I'm on the negative. My account is on the negative.
Yeah.
I will not be easily wounded by that, because I know what has befallen me. Jesus doeth all things, so says the song.
Amen.
So in other words, both the testifier and the one who's listening to the testimony, we need to know that nothing shall befall us unless it is allowed of our Father. And the same faith that allowed Abel to die is the same faith that made Enoch not to die. So the faith in Esther may cause them to receive a job, and the faith in our house may cause us to be demoted at work. We still need to understand that the old man up there is still in control.
Amen.
And is too good. He's too good to aim. You will notice that as Habakkuk chapter 3 ends, says, even though the fig tree does not blossom. That's the attitude that we should have when we are listening to the one who testify.
Mm.
Because we do not have the power to control when they should testify or why, what they should testify of.
Yeah.
So we should, as we sit there, say like Habakkuk, that even though the fig tree does not blossom, yet I will praise him. So faith is understanding that even in death, God is still good. He may be delivering us. He may be delivering us even through that. Mm. So we should move from this low level of thinking that a testimony is only a testimony when it comes from the positive. Mm. It is a testimony as well that we lost our loved ones, but we are still standing.
Yeah.
God has sustained us.
Yeah.
So everyone by the end of the day has a testimony, because Habakkuk says, even though the fig tree does not blossom, and the trees and the vines have been, in fact, they say Habakkuk, so God, he said those words after God had told him that the Babylonians will come and destroy Judah. And the Babylonians were known for the scorch the earth policy, that when they come into a place, they leave a desert, they burn everything.
Mm.
So out of that, Habakkuk responds to God and says, even when the Babylonians come and burn everything, and the fig tree does not blossom and the vines are burnt,
yeah,
I will still praise the Lord. So by the end of the day, whether in the Middle East they are crying, we are at peace this side,
yeah,
we need to understand that the hand that runs the universe is still in control.
Amen and amen. Yeah, my pastor, that was powerful and so much to think about from what you've just shared there. Thank you so much for your time, and God bless you.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much for hosting me, Bongi.
Amen. A beautiful word there on the goodness of God and our sharing the goodness of God, praising Him for His goodness in the midst of human suffering. I think one of the main takeaways for me, first of all, is one of the last points that the pastor made, that the testimony that we share is not always and only from the positive angle, what we consider positive anyway. It can also be the fact that after the tragedies that we've endured, that we're still standing, the fact that after we've gone through so much, after our faith has been shaken, that our faith still stands. We still have, even if it's just a shred, I still have a little bit of faith. That's reason enough to praise God. There's so many reasons to praise God. So that's definitely something to think about. I appreciate the pastor coming through and sharing from both, from the perspectives of both the one sharing the testimony, the one going through the positive uptick in their spiritual life, and also from the perspective of the one who's going through a really dark and heavy and lonely time, that we need to deepen our own individual relationships with God so that as the next person is sharing the positives in their own life, it doesn't affect me in a way that will bring me lower, right? There's no envy, there's no jealousy, there's no comparison. I'm able to be happy for that other person while I wait for God to move on my behalf, while I even recognize God's presence in my darkness and in my sadness, in my misery, in whatever I'm going through, I'm still able to recognize His presence even in my own life. So interesting conversation there. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that on +27734703520. All right, we'll take a break and be right back after this.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.